Okay, Bantin. Do you think for all of the participants, you may send your questions directly to me. The chat has only enabled for communication with the host and or you may raise your hand. If you are going to raise your hand to ask a question directly, please make sure that your username has actually your real name indicated, so we know that you are a real person and someone from the Sethi platform. Okay, so Mahisha, you may please unmute and ask.
Good one, Saranai Bante.
Yeah, good one, Saranai.
Today's session is really good and it's timely, actually. It's like you said everything like to me. So I therefore thought of asking a question. Now you said about that when we grasp something from the outside while we are being try to mindful during the day, but if, for example, if I say, okay, I'm trying to, you know, making something in the kitchen, and then someone comes and ask something, so most of the time, you know, I don't hear, but they repeat because they know that I don't hear, and then when they repeat, but still if I don't want to hear to it, then I can feel, okay, kind of a bit of a annoying kind of, it's not really anger, but discomfort coming from somewhere to my mind, and I can see it's appearing and it's burst. So at the point it's bursting, it's come saying, sometimes I use my posture to show that I don't want to talk, or I just say shh from my mouth. And then after doing that, then I feel, oh my God, have I done the right thing? How that person might be feeling now? Because they are my family members, so I feel like that. But now they understand, you know, I listen to Dhamma sessions through Zoom in different times, so they know that, so they walk away. Actually, while you were telling this, when you were explaining it today, when it happened to me, so that's why I thought I would ask this. So then you said that when it's happening, like it's happened for a reason, or we call it hetu. So it's very hard to understand, like from outside, how things happening to disturb our concentration, and how can then, because my mind asked the question, okay, that person, you know, behave or ask something, and then how can, I mean, I can't control it, it's external, and how I can relate the reason for it, and then how can I console my mind, okay, that's something that you don't have, I mean, you don't have to disturb yourself. You keep on doing what you were doing. Why are you going to put your hand into that and then get burned and then thinking over it whether that person got hurt or discomfort? And then the mind is like going behind that person's thought, way of thinking, you know, mm-hmm. thinking about the person's, how that person would think and whether that person is discomfort and all these things. So I think I have two questions in here. The first one, if I summarize what I have said so far, how we can identify a reason for a sudden pop-up of a situation which disturbs our mind. And the other thing is, once it's happened, how we can then get back to the mind and then completely erase what has happened.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bante.
Yeah. So basically, this is where actually the mindfulness is coming to the picture. So typically what happens is, if we are not mindful, immediately experience, the experience itself start to drive us. So immediately we start to react. Assume that, as you take the example, say assume there's a family member just trying to bug you, just trying to disturb you. So immediate reaction is just you're shouting, okay, you go away. I'm listening to Dhamma. You go away. So likewise, you are shouting. So that is the kind of a reaction we immediately impulsively take in the mind. Now, when we are mindful, so it is not that person become the problem, but rather we feel how the reaction, how our mind reacts impulsively. So this reaction is the one now we are trying to recognize. Now, more and more we become mindful, we are reducing this impulsive reaction. So rather we are able to apply brake. It's like a shock absorber. We are able to apply brake, shock absorbing, step back and watch the picture rather than immediate reaction. So therefore, the answer for the fixation is the development of the mindfulness. More and more we develop mindfulness. So that is one benefit of the development of mindfulness, that we have now breaks. We are not simply being victim of the typical reactions, the impulsive reactions. And the other question that you ask, so how we can sort of analyze this situation. So once we step back and watch the mind, so that is where we are now very much like already built a dam onto this flow. Assume that this whole defilements arising in the mind is like a flood. Now, once we apply mindfulness, it is like a blockage. It's like a dam that we immediately built. So now it can't go further, or it can't grow further. Now everything is under check. Now I have the proper perspective. Now mind is not in a reactive mode. But now things are under little control. So I know the picture. Okay, this person approached and he has told me something. And as a result, mind has a kind of a jerk, kind of a reactive, impulsive sort of situation. So I was able to check it. I was able to stop it. And now how to properly approach it. So in that situation, now we can say, okay, now we are further applying, say, insights. Say, how this has happened? Now you are sort of watching back. You are little sort of watching back how this whole thing erupted, how this whole thing burst. So if we properly see objectively, so it's a kind of a sight, it's a kind of a sound, and we perceive that using our ears, eyes, as a result, the knowing has happened. And then kind of say the feeling, that feeling is not a tasty feeling, or that feeling is not a attractive feeling, rather a bitter feeling. So something that I don't like. So this is a kind of a repulsion towards that feeling. So I want to get rid of. So this is how, I mean, we are coming to the personality. Okay, I don't want it. I want to be secluded. I want to be alone. Leave me alone. So now the impulse happens. Now I am adding a person to the picture. He is there and I am here. He is trying to disturb me. I am here doing something important. So now there are various persons we are adding to the picture. How about simply taking this as kind of a experience which has completely happened between various senses, the eye and the sight, say ear and the sounds, and the knowing part also happen, and then the feelings also happen, and we are able to recognize the feeling, and we are not trying to put a person into the picture, draw a person into the picture. We are able to recognize the feeling. Okay, it's a painful feeling. So how can this painful feeling could be properly managed? How can I stop adding further feelings, so adding my own perceived ideas to the picture? So that way we are keeping the sort of the feeling at its more minimum level, or at its inception level, at its early stages. Otherwise, what happens is, unknowingly we are complicating the picture, unknowingly we are adding so many parts, and we are get on to a story and we become emotional, and now the feeling become an emotion. On that situation, we become, I mean, it's a bit difficult to handle. But once we apply mindfulness and we look at it, the whole picture, as we discussed last in the, according to the Hetupala, according to the cause and effect. So we can see the sort of the whole picture become unentangled. The complication become dissolved. and we are able to see how it has happened, how so far the picture has grown. So this way, now we are approaching in a different way. We are now pay wise attention. Instead of taking the surface value, rather we go a little deeper and see the causes. So my mind has a kind of a perception, okay, during this time, no one should come and disturb me. No one should bother me. So I have a kind of a precondition in the mind. But others may not know about it. So they may come in as a usual manner, as a friendly manner. They may come and try to approach us. But we have our own restriction. We have imposed our own restriction. They should never come at this time. But the other person may not know about it. They may come and try to disturb or try to get some help. So now, when we are looking at it in that manner, so there is no way to, become angry or sort of agitated. Rather, we sort of start to sympathize ourselves and even sympathize the others. So now we have the proper perspective, correct perspective, and the complication has dissolved, and our own additions, constructions are also being dissolved. So the whole kind of agitation starts to calm down. Now it has disappeared. Now again, the mind is in the back to normal. So for example, I'll give you a simple example. While Venerable Sariputta was on the Pindapatha, one Brahmin want to test him, test his patience. So what really has happened was, he came by behind and slapped him, give him a knock. And Venerable Sariputta didn't even notice. He actually noticed, but he didn't even turn his mind, turn his head and look at me. But there were many other people waiting to offer dana to Venerable Sariputta. They become really upset. They become really agitated. They become really angry. And now they are following this man just to punish him. And the Venerable Sariputta is the one actually protected him. So likewise, I can give 1001 examples. So, this is an example comes in the books, but in our own lives also, we can probably find out some examples. I'm not telling that every time we can manage like this, but at least when we are in the proper mood, when we are maintaining mindfulness, when we are able to approach properly, we are able to see the correct picture, then we are able to calm down ourselves. And rather than taking the revenge, rather than taking a sort of a reactively approach, we are able to step back and look at the picture. So therefore, these are the areas that we need to improve. So these are the mistakes we do, and at the same time, these are the areas that we can improve. And mindfulness and this kind of a proper analysis would be the answer.
Thank you, Bhante. Can I ask another question, please? It's also related to this now. I'm quite happy with the cause and effect situation, because in Dhamma it said that when something happens, there is a cause for it. And then if we can eradicate the cause, there won't be a result out of it. So we have to look at the cause first. If we can, eliminate the cause, then there won't be an effect.
Yes.
So with that we heard it like, not now, when before I started meditating, I heard that through Dhamma. And then, so I had that in my mind, and always when something, happens, I try to look at, there are things that we have to, accept because there is a cause, and the cause created this effect. So then I had to figure out what's the cause. And then if I can do something about the cause, the effect will be different, or if it won't be there.
Yes.
So that's the system that I always look at. So when something happens, for example, if someone comes and approach and comes and tell about something, which out of ordinary and I never expected. So sometimes we lose, to answer back. So in that case, quickly I look at what was the reason, what was the cause for that person to, come up with the idea or a proposal or a subject like that. And then sometimes it's very hard to find what was the cause. And even though sometimes if you find the cause, it's very hard to control or eliminate the cause.
Mm-hmm. So actually,
in that case, then we have to console our minds saying, okay, I don't know the way of, you know, identifying the cause, or I don't have a ability to control the cause, so I have to defeat myself, or I have to accept it as it is. And then I tell to myself, oh, that's the natural law.
Yeah.
So nature does it. So we have to accept it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's where I like to add here. So basically, the finding the cause outside is one approach, and finding the cause inside is another approach. Now here, even when others are sort of disturbing us, so why this mind become agitated? So what is the potential inside available here to get agitated? If there are no internal causes for the agitation, then whatever the agitation, whatever the disturbance the outside is projecting to us, but then internally we can't get agitated. So that is where the Buddha mentioned, puttassa loka dhammehi chittam yassana kampati. So, I mean, we may go through various ups and downs. We may go through various experiences. But the mind is unchanged. Mind doesn't lose its stability. Chittam yassana kampati. The mind remained stable. It is not shocked. It is not disturbed. Mind has its stability. So this stability, this stillness is something that we are developing. It may not happen within a day or two. So as we are developing ourselves, so the causes for this agitation become being uprooted. So the causes are the self-view. So there's a view that I am here, I am a person, I am a person that has to be respected. I am a person that has to be properly given the sacred recognition. I am a person that they have to behave in a proper manner. So there is always a kind of a personality view underlying. So how about uprooting this personality view? So this is a very huge cause here. So we may be trying to find out causes outside in terms of the personality view. So okay, I am here, he is there, and he has his own, say, upbringing, different sort of biases. So he is behaving like that. So still we are in the conventional level. But once we go to more insightful approach, so then we can even address that there's a person still within this whole experience. So I'm adding a person to the experience. How about that? Then there's a vast amount of, purification actually happens, because we have taken a huge part of confusion. So the adding of a person, imposing a personality, is one of the very big issue in this whole experience. Now more and more we develop insight, so that is where we are addressing. So there is always an experience, but there is no experiencer. There is no person who is experiencing. None. Other than the experience, there is no experiencer. So this is a very profound, very interesting insight. So if we are able to come to such a level, so then doesn't matter how much the others may disturb us, but there is no experiencer to get disturbed, to get agitated. So then, I mean, it's very much like, now say, I'll give you a simple example. Say there is a water bottle, and that water has some mud, and it has been sort of sedimented. And suppose that it was in a on a table, and someone accidentally knocks it, and now that sedimented mud or that muddy particles all comes to the surface, and everything become turbulent. Now it has become muddy water. Because it already had the mud particles, impurities, and because of the shaking, the whole thing become muddy, whole thing become turbulent. Now suppose you completely purify that water. All the mud particles, all the impurities are taken out. And the same water bottle, now the all impurities are taken out, now kept on the table. Again, that same person assume come and knock on it. Still the shaking happens. Does the water become muddy?
No.
No. Because there are no impurities internally. So that is the approach that
example.
Yeah, that is the approach that Buddha is taking. So when others come and knock with us, so why we become muddy? Why we become turbulent? Because internally we have some impurities. So that is the one making us turbulent, making our mind crowded, corrupted, polluted. But if the main causes are completely uprooted, then doesn't matter the others, whatever others do. So we can maintain the stability of the mind. We can maintain the clarity of the mind. So that would be the long term and the complete answer that Buddha is taking. So that is where the meditation, this mindfulness practice, insight practice, all are actually directing us. Recognizing our own faults, recognizing our own additions, recognizing our own ignorance in a way. So avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnanam, vijnana paccaya nama rupam. Till we have the personality view, there are always we do the constructions. There are always we add so many things. We are always coloring the picture. We are always coloring the experience. But there, if there is no ignorance, if we are able to properly establish mindfulness, if we are looking at things properly, not with the personality view, then there is no avijja. If there is no avijja, no construction, no fabrication. So mind remain calm. So that is on in the other terms, what Buddha mentioned is ditte dittamattam bhavissati. The seen is just seen. There is no I who is seen. There is no seer. There is no experiencer. We can stop at the seeing level. We can stop at the hearing level. We can stop at the smelling level, tasting level, sensing level, thinking level. And we are not further adding to it. We are not constructing onto it, fabricating onto it. So that is the deep answer we can say. And that is what that we need to try to understand. We need to try to achieve in a way so that irrespective of whatever the impulse, impingement coming from the outside, mind remain calm. Mind does not lose its stability.
Very good explanation. I got it very well. And it's a long process to remove the mud from the bottle, because the mud has been collected and poured into the bottle over many, many years. I mean, maybe the samsara.
Yeah.
Many, many samsara. So it's a kind of a hard job, but let's try.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you so much, Pate. I really got it very much cleared. And this actually was a problem actually running in my head most of the time, you know, how to suppress or remove these causes. Now, I think I have to work hard for it. And I know how to work hard for it with your guidance and Lokuswadha's guidance. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. And for the next question, I'd like to invite Chidi Devi to come in.
Thank you. Bhante, just tell me from that previous question, what I understood from your answer is that we have to look at this effect. If we are able to change our way of reacting, the effect will be different. Would that be fair to say?
So in the sense,
like for instance, if somebody interrupts you and we react by getting angry, we can prevent that ourselves if we have worked on ourselves.
Yeah.
Would that be correct?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, to the extent that we are developed, we can manage it, we can handle it. Say, for example, with a little disturbance, we can handle when we are somewhat developed. Even for a large disturbance, some higher disturbance, still we can manage if our mind is further developed. So likewise, I mean, say, for example, I'll take a simple, say, there is someone you don't like, and probably you can manage with him. Say he is coming to the front, you are not that agitated, you are not that angry. But assume there is the one who really has done nasty thing to you, but with him you can't still cope up, still you get angry. So likewise, so there are levels actually we can say. But the point here, important point here is still there is an I, there is a person. So that is where we need to further try to penetrate. So we always try to see a person here, see a I here, experiencer here. So more we develop, more we develop insights, vipassana, so that part also has to be uprooted. So then only we will have a lasting solution, permanent solution in a way. Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to clarify, because from last time you spoke about Nama Rupa and then you spoke about Vedana Sanya Chetana, which is intention, you said. So
yeah.
That is, it's like a sankara. Would that be right if I said that?
Correct. Chetana is a sankara,
yes.
Yes.
And then Pasa Manasikara. Now this Manasikara, is that the mind or is that the emotion?
Actually, when we use the term mind, it's a kind of an umbrella term which includes everything. Actually,
Manasa, is that the Manasa?
No, that's what I want to tell you. Now, if we consider the consciousness, mind, consciousness, chitta and Manasa. So those are different levels. Actually, very good clarification is given by Most Venerable Katukurunde Jnananda Mahathero. So he says that consciousness is the more primitive level. Say eye and sight, it may generate eye consciousness. Ear sound generates ear consciousness. So likewise, that is the most primitive level. And once we add something to it, once it becomes colored, once the defilements are mixed, then it becomes the chitta. Then it becomes the chitta. And once we are acting upon, impulsively to it. So now we are putting the chetana, the, you know, the impulse, action, then it is called the manasa. So where the impulsive, reactive part, level, stage is called the manasa. We are now adding, or we are acting on it. We are maybe thinking, we are say laughing, we are talking, or we are sort of hitting. Likewise, we are now in the action level. So that action, active level is called the manasa. Before that, the colored level is called the chitta. And the most primitive level is the consciousness, vijnana. So therefore, we can't simply say it is the mana. When we ask like that, it's difficult to say. Rather, this consciousness has many aspects.
So, when we are talking of this manasikara, does it include all these things you just now said?
No, actually, manasikara is one property of the mind. And say, for example, vedana is the feeling part of the mind. Sanya is the perception part, the signs.
Yes.
And vedana,
yes.
Sanya, chetana is the sort of the activity part, the what you say, the kriya, the activity, action part. And then passa is where you kind of a contact. When things are there, they comes together, the contact.
Mm-hmm.
And manasikara is where you are paying the attention, the whole attention now sort of focused onto a particular phenomena. Say for example, now there are sights, there are sounds, there are smells, there are tastes. So likewise, there are many sort of sense impingements available. But at a given time, assume that you want to see something. At that time, you have to pay attention to that sight. So this paying attention to that selected phenomena is done by the manasikara.
So it's not only the emotions that, I mean, that people get upset, they cry.
No. Emotions.
That's not man.
Yeah, I mean when we say the nama rupa, so we are talking of the more fairly the primitive level. It hasn't grown to the emotion level yet. So once it has grown to some extent, the feeling is become more prominent and it become an emotion.
Right, I understand. Now, also this sense basis, we have the internal and the external, that's correct, the internal other...
Yes.
Our eyes, all the things, and the external is the external objects, right?
Correct.
That's what we call the sense basis, internal and external.
Yes.
And the last clarification is, from what you have been saying today, it's a lot of work outside meditation that we have to do, really, from you know, when we seeing, hearing, all that kind of thing, cognizing, it is all outside meditation that we have to work at. Would that be right if I said that?
No. it is the meditation. So that is where the Dhamma Anupassana comes to the picture. Because, I mean...
But in real life, I mean, when we are not sitting on the cushion, I suppose that's a part of meditation,
definitely.
In real life.
Yeah, that's the point. So now there is nothing outside your meditation. So your whole life becomes the meditation. It is like you are spreading the meditation, you are spreading the mindfulness throughout your whole life. Now typically people think, okay, my meditation is the cushion time. Okay, I go sit at 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Okay, that is where I meditate. Everything else is forgotten. But it is not the proper meditation. Your mindful space has to be grown. You are now trying to be mindful while walking. You are now trying to be mindful while eating, while talking, while dealing with another person. So likewise, your mindfulness has to spread throughout your life. Then there is no moment that you are not mindful. So basically the whole life become a kind of a investigation for you to recognize your own mind.
Yes. So we have to live the Dhamma. I mean, every minute we have to live the Dhamma.
Exactly. Yeah. Very true. Yeah.
Yes. But the only thing, Bhante, that is because we have to live in this world. So then, you know, like when you go to work, for instance, you know, you have to change the gear because it's a different gear. And we can't believe the Dhamma then, you know, it's because we are dealing with people who are not people, who don't think or want to keep the Dhamma.
But at the same time, we can't completely forgotten the Dhamma, completely forgotten the practice, even though we are at the office. Because that is where the most vulnerable area, the defilements can attack. So that is where, as you are progressing, you can't expect defilements to happen on the cushion at your home.
No.
That's the point.
Easier to handle it in your own home, for instance.
Yeah, that's true.
Because in workplaces, we hear very often how people get steamrolled over if you are going to be very mild and gentle and whatever. You know, people just walk over you. So you have to balance that. That's what I was trying to say. You have to make a balance.
Yeah, that also is true. That sometimes actually people sort of misuse.
Yes, I agree. Yes, yeah. So you have to put a little resistance somehow or question certain things and things which you may not do with Kalyana Mitra and home situation or whatever. So I am very conscious of it, and I always feel that sometimes, you know, we have to balance.
Yeah,
we have to balance.
Correct.
You know?
So I like to point out here a very good example given by Achan Cha. So actually his student monks are telling that whenever Achan Cha has to perform a task, that he has to assume that he's the senior monk, he's the teacher, and he has to take that leading role. So at that time, so he takes that leading role. So he do the orders and he himself are working properly and he does the proper management, administration. And he plays as a person. He shows a personality. You know, when we are talking as that some person has a personality. So that has an influence. So he has the ordering kind of a situation that he has a good personality. So once the job is done, again he's the typical normal monk. So that sort of a role playing is there. So when you are at home, you may have to play a role of your mother, as a mother. So that is that you are playing properly. And say once you are at the office, you assume that you are doing some administrative task. So then you have to play that administrative role.
Yes.
But the point here is that we should not assume that. I hope you got the point.
What do you mean we should not assume that? What was that?
Yeah, that's the point. What I want to communicate is that assume that you are a administrator. Okay, now you are playing that role while at the office. So assume now you are coming back home while driving the car. While doing that, are you an administrator?
No.
All right, that's the point. So we should not take that administrator role back home.
No. I totally get that point, Bhante. But it's much easier to be able to practice Dhamma, live the Dhamma in your own personal surroundings, you know.
Yeah. So what happens? What happened to us is typically we are playing a role at many different levels, many different stages, but we are using or taking that role to other places as well. Assume that you are a doctor, you are an engineer. And while at home also you feel that I want my family members to consider me like an engineer, as an administrator, as a doctor. They have to give me due respect. My children has to respect me as an engineer, as a doctor, as an administrator. So this is something unnecessary. This is where we have to live a kind of an unassumed life. If possible, I mean, what I'm talking is quite difficult and I am not yet capable for doing that, but we need to try that. There may be roles that we need to play, but once the role is finished, so are we able to come back to that simplicity? Are we able to simply be with our children with a very, you know, with a smile, with a mild heart, with a soft heart, just to be with their level, have a good smile with them? You know, we have to completely drop that administrative role in order to do that.
Yes.
So that
yes,
is one thing. Yeah. So that is where we need to be quite careful, and that kind of a switching of the roles is in a way we knowingly can say. I mean, typically, what happens is unknowingly we become driven by the role. We are in the role. We don't know it is a role. But if we knowingly play the role, knowing that it is a very temporary role, I am just playing it for the sake of doing it, of sake of completeness. Or this for the success. But once that role is over, I become no one in a way.
Yes, got it, Bhante. Thank you. That's why the Buddha said it's against the grain, it's against the flow. So we have to sometimes not forget that.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah. Welcome.
Thank you, Bhante. That is all for today's question.
Yeah. Okay. Then actually we have spent almost 1.5 hours and you all have actively participated, and we also was able to discuss something beautiful. And with respect to the Buddha, Dhamma and the Sangha, and again, we have accumulated some merits by discussing this Dhamma. And let's recite the traditional verses and share the merits. Ittavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ittavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Ittavata ca amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bhummattha deva naga mahiddika පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු සාසනං ආකාසත්තාච බුම්මඨා දේවානාගා මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු දේශනං ආකාසත්තාච බුම්මඨා දේවානාගා මහිද්దికා පුඤ්ඤන්තං අනුමෝදිත්වා චිරං රක්ඛන්තු මම් පරං ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉදං වෝ ඥාතීනං හෝතු සුඛිතා හුන්තු ඥාතයෝ ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය ඉමිනා පුඤ්ඤ කම්මේන මාමේ බාල සමාගමෝ සතං සමාගමෝ හෝතු යාව නිබ්බාන පත්තිය සාදු සාදු සාදු